New insights on Habit 2 begin with the end in mind. When I attended my 20th Harvard Business School reunion, Clayton Christensen, one of the greatest management thinkers of our time, gave the keynote address. He spoke candidly to the packed audience of thousands of HBS graduates on the topic of how to measure your life. His message was essentially this: don't blow it. Among Christensen's classmates, many were estranged from their families, others were in prison, and still others were living unhappy lives. None of them started off thinking, "I want to live the kind of life where my kids won't speak to me," or "I want to commit fraud," or "I want to be completely unfulfilled." But because they didn't carefully think through what matters most, and because they repeatedly made small, compromising decisions over a long period, they found themselves in a completely different place than they had intended to be. Clayton told a story about his first job out of school at a prestigious consulting firm. As a young consultant, he worked hard, long hours Monday through Friday and was devoted to his colleagues and his clients. But juggling work and life demands became challenging. One day, one of his managers told him to clear his Sunday so that the team could prepare for an important client meeting on Monday. Clayton paused and told his manager he couldn't come in for the meeting. "I'm sorry," he explained. "I don't work on Sundays. That is the day that I reserve for my faith." The manager walked away grumbling, but came back a short while later. "Okay, fine. I've been able to move everything to Saturday. We'll have the preparation meeting then." Clayton paused before responding. "I'm so sorry," he explained again. "I don't work on Saturdays. My wife and I made the decision long ago to prioritize our family on Saturdays. I spend Saturdays with my family." His colleague stormed away for a third time before coming back with, "Do you happen to work on Fridays?" Clayton explained how he got through that decision, which was the first of many that shaped his life for the better, propelled his career, and kept him near to his family and faith. He sensed that if he were to compromise staying late or working weekends just this once, it would become a slippery slope. He learned over the years that it's easier to stick to your principles 100% of the time than 98% of the time. As he put it, decide what you stand for, and then stand for it all the time. After Clayton's speech, the lecture hall erupted in a standing ovation like I had never experienced before. Literally, no one would sit down, but just kept on clapping. In his own way, Clayton was challenging all of these type A personalities who planned on building businesses and changing the world to think deeper than they had ever before about what truly defines success, and to begin with the end in mind. As this story beautifully illustrates, you don't want to climb the ladder of success and, upon reaching the top rung, realize that the ladder is leaning against the wrong wall. I hope you sense how strongly my father felt about the power of purpose and mission. As a young man, his grandfather, Stephen Mack Covey, tended sheep and was once trapped in a winter storm on the plains of Wyoming. It was 30 degrees below zero, and thinking he was going to die, he prayed, "God, if you'll save me tonight, I promise to one day build a refuge on this very spot to protect other weary travelers." Well, he made it through the night, and many years later built a hotel right there on the plains of Wyoming, which he called Covey's Little America. Later, he successfully expanded to a second hotel in Salt Lake City. His son took over that business, and my dad was trained at a young age to be the next family hotel operator. But while my father was at business school, he discovered that he had a passion for teaching and decided he didn't want to run the hotel after all. He was so afraid to tell his father, but he finally worked up the courage to say, "Dad, I don't want to run the family business." Surprisingly, my grandfather said, "You know what? I never liked business that much myself. You go ahead and be a teacher." And that's exactly what Dad did. Even as a young man, Dad was always mission-driven. He had a short written mission statement, which he refined throughout his life. I don't think he'd want me to share the exact wording, but basically, it was the idea of unlocking human potential and flooding the world with principle-centered leadership. He saw himself as a pathfinder, a trailblazer, a paradigm breaker. That was the role he envisioned, bringing principle-centered leadership to the world and unleashing human potential. He also felt that everyone had a distinct mission or unique contribution to make. And he was always communicating this to people. I would often overhear him saying things like, "I think you would make an extraordinary business leader," or, "What a difference you are making as the peacemaker in your family," or, "You'll make a great parent someday." I once randomly asked my father how he defined leadership. He thought for a second and said, "Leadership is communicating to another their worth and potential so clearly they are inspired to see it in themselves." As he said this, I teared up because it was so genuine. He had always communicated to me my worth and potential, even when I didn't see it in myself. How to write a mission statement. The best way to begin with the end in mind is to write a personal mission statement, philosophy, or creed. After reading this chapter, many people get excited about writing a mission statement, but then they get busy, one thing leads to another, and the excitement wears off. The fact is, you can't afford not to do it. Too much is at stake. There's something incredibly powerful about having a written mission statement, a personal constitution, so to speak, that will guide your life and direct your daily decisions. The key to getting it done is to not overthink it. Remember, it doesn't have to be perfect. Just get started and refine it over time. Here are a few ideas that can help you develop a personal mission statement. Free write. Sit down and for 15 minutes, keep your pen moving. Write down everything that comes to mind about what you're best at, self-awareness, what you feel you need to do, conscience, and what you would do if you had no limits, imagination. The key is to continue writing until the time is up. When you're done, do a little editing to form a rough draft of your mission statement. Plan a retreat. Schedule a day when you can get away to some location that inspires you, whether it be the beach, the mountains, or a park. Think through what matters most to you. To spur some ideas, here are some questions to ask yourself. Write down your answers, then synthesize and edit until you have a draft. Here are the questions. Think of a person who has made a positive difference in your life. What qualities does that person have that you would like to develop? Describe a time when you were deeply inspired. If you placed an I-beam across the Grand Canyon, for what or for whom would you be willing to cross? If you could spend one day in a great library studying anything you wanted, what would it be? What are 10 things you absolutely, positively love to do? Think of something that represents you, an animal, a song, a car, a location. How does it uniquely represent you? Branch out. Use a favorite quote, a single word, a piece of music, a poem. There's no single right way. I help teenagers with mission statements all the time. Teens don't often relate well to verbal expressions, but they do love the idea of creating a collage or a vision board, which is a visual way of capturing your mission. You could do the same. Use a template. If you need more guidance, we've created a mission statement builder at franklincovey.com, which is the most visited page on the Franklin Covey website. It will walk you through how to build a mission statement. Answer some questions, push print, and there you go. You'll have a mission statement in your hands. I first wrote a mission statement when I was in college, and at this point in my life, I'm probably in my 20th draft. My mission statement has progressively become shorter. It's now down to one sentence, but it is rife with meaning to me. Clarifying what your life is about through a mission statement can dramatically impact your life. As a child, Elizabeth Marks dreamed of serving in the military and enlisted at 17. She suffered serious injury during a deployment to Iraq, and her greatest fear was a medical discharge from the Army. Sergeant Marks wrote her personal mission, "Fit for Duty," on a piece of paper and carried it with her throughout her grueling recovery. Eventually, she became a record-breaking para-swimmer, joined the U.S. Army World Class Athlete Program, and was declared fit for duty in July 2012. When I was a teenager, I remember my dad calling a family meeting. "All right, children," he pronounced, "we're going to write a family mission statement." A lot of moaning and groaning ensued. Undaunted, he continued, "The idea is to create our own family constitution. I would like everyone's input." When it was my turn, I sarcastically said, "I think it should say, 'We're one heck of a family and we kick butt.'" Well, it didn't make the final cut. But we did meet as a family several more times to refine a mission statement that said something like this: "Our home is a place of fun, relaxation, learning, friends, growth, and order, to develop ourselves into the kinds of people who can contribute to the world." Despite being a carefree teenager, I remember how the process of writing and posting a family mission statement made me feel. I was a vital part of my family, and we did have purpose. We were about something. And even though we had lots of problems and fights like every family does, it helped us create a resilient and fun family culture where we enjoyed being together and where everyone was willing to apologize and try again. Since then, I've seen many tremendous family mission statements. I have a good friend with 4 kids, and his family mission statement looks like a massive constitution hanging on his wall with about 2,000 words for crying out loud. On the other hand, my aunt and uncle have a 3-word mission statement: no empty chairs. And I have a Danish friend whose family has a single word mission, which is the name of their family cabin, Helsefor. To them, it means everything. Organizational mission statements, not just words on a wall. Organizational mission statements sometimes get a lot of flack because so often they're just platitudes nobody lives by. Or they're created by a couple of people at corporate and pushed down the organization with no buy-in. But you can't underestimate the power of creating a mission as a team and getting it right. Some organizational mission statements are so genuine that you can feel their mission exuding from their people, products, and services. 2 that jump out for me are IKEA and American Girl. I've bought a lot of furniture from IKEA and a lot of dolls from American Girl, and their mission statements perfectly capture my experience with them. Here's IKEA's mission statement: "To create a better everyday life for the many people. Our business idea supports this vision by offering a wide range of well-designed, functional home furnishing products at prices so low that as many people as possible will be able to afford them." And here's the mission statement from American Girl: "Through the joy of play and the wonder of a great book, we help girls discover their sense of self with timeless stories and memorable characters who instill important values like honesty, courage, kindness, and compassion." Perhaps the most remarkable transformation I have ever seen from implementing an organizational mission statement comes from A.B. Combs Elementary, a public school in Raleigh, North Carolina, where about half of the students live in poverty or near-poverty situations. In the year 2000, this magnet school was really struggling, and Muriel Summers had just been appointed principal. Attendance was exceptionally low. The school could accommodate 800 students, but only 300 students were enrolled. The building was messy. Parents were not involved. The teachers didn't enjoy working there, and the kids could sense this. Finally, the superintendent said, "Muriel, we're going to shut you down as a magnet school because you're not attracting enough students." Muriel was desperate and didn't know what to do. She asked the superintendent, "Can I have another year?" He said, "I'll give you another week to come up with a new idea." Muriel challenged the school staff, "Why don't we go out and talk with the community to find out what they want the school to teach their kids?" She and her team talked with parents and employers. They said, "We want our children to be self-starters. We want them to get along well with other people, to learn how to set goals, solve problems, balance their lives, show up on time, resolve conflicts, and play at the park." They talked about what we might call leadership skills or 21st century life skills. Nobody said anything about higher test scores. Previous to this predicament, Muriel had attended a 7 Habits workshop taught by my father in Washington, D.C. While he was teaching, she kept thinking, "Why do we have to wait until we're adults to learn these powerful ideas? Why can't kids learn them?" During a break, she gathered her courage and approached him and asked, "Dr. Covey, I'm Muriel Summers, an elementary school principal. Do you think these habits could be taught to young children? How young? As young as 5 years old? He mulled it over, then smiled and said, I don't know why not. Let me know how it goes if you ever do it. After synthesizing all of these experiences, Muriel Summers and her staff came to feel that leadership was what their school needed most. Their superintendent liked it, and their new mission statement was posted in the center of the school. Our mission is to develop leaders one child at a time. The mission was not meant to make students into future CEOs. It was to help them become leaders of their own lives and in their school. The teachers began integrating the 7 habits into their existing lessons. They soon noticed a significant rise in student self-confidence and a drop in discipline problems. Parents noticed, too, as the behavior of their children began to change at home. Inspiring quotes about leadership were posted in the hallways. Assemblies and other school events took on the leadership theme. 7 Habits language was heard on the playground. Each student carried around a data notebook where they kept track of their test scores and where they set and tracked their goals. Each student had a leadership role to play in the school. A student might be the leader when welcoming everyone to class, or broadcasting the morning announcements, or hosting visitors, or monitoring the playground. In short, everyone was a leader of some kind. Leadership was no longer the domain of just a few kids. It was for every single student. Within a few years, academic scores rose from an average of 84% to 97%. Morale soared. Parents got involved. Enrollment increased from 300 to 800 students with a huge waiting list. Housing prices in the school zone rose. And in 2005, and then again in 2014, A.B. Combs, a public school with 50% of their students living in poverty or near poverty situations, speaking 28 languages, was named the number one magnet school in the United States. Today, more than 5,000 schools in over 50 countries have adopted the A.B. Combs leadership model called Leader in Me, touching the lives of more than 2 million students and their families. Thousands of educators from around the world have come to visit A.B. Combs to experience what they've created. When Muriel Summers, her students, staff, parents, and community leaders came together around a powerful end in mind, with a school mission statement to match, they had no idea how much they would impact the world. Here's my challenge to you. Don't listen to this chapter without coming away with a personal mission statement of your own. Some are long, some are short. Some are songs, some are vision boards. It doesn't matter. It's whatever works for you. A personal mission statement represents the highest and best within you. If you're in a family, gather and define what you're about. If you're in a position of influence at work, do what you can to write a mission statement or refine the one you already have. Then sit back and watch what it can do.